Hey, welcome back. It is the Pat Miller Program. Glad you guys are with us on this, the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And thank you for allowing me to spend the 4 o'clock hour remembering Pearl Harbor as we did, and a lot of great stories from a lot of you. Thank you for that. But other things are also going on in the world today, and for that we turn our attention to the nation's capital. And there, we always talk to him at this time. It's Philip Wegman from Real Clear Politics. He is their White House correspondent. Philip, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Pat.
Now, I'm hoping that you understand how incredible it is that this week, of all weeks, that you're actually with me in your regular time slot. Because
we've had to do some shuffling, haven't we?
With all the penny pit stuff coming up and going on, and the fact that Thursday and Friday we're out there at Sweetwater Sound for the entire time doing the phone-a-thon, people have been jumbled and moved around. You're the only person all week that's in the time slot where you belong. So don't blow it. So today the president had what? A two and a half hour sit down by video with Vladimir Putin of Russia. And your assessment on how it is that you think that went?
Well, we just heard from the president's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, in the briefing room. And the message that they sent was that if there were provocations by the Russians on the Ukrainian border, that the United States wouldn't hesitate just to enact sanctions, but also would increase the level of defense aid beyond what were already given to the Ukrainians. So it was clearly a show of strength after that two-hour call. But we will see what actually happens, because frankly, the parallels between 2014 and 2020 are pretty stark here.
Yeah.
You have Russia banging the saber and war drums like they did, 7 years ago. And after a lot of diplomacy, after a lot of strongly worded statements, the West could not stop Russia from invading Ukraine. We will see if they can this time, because based off of just the number of troops that Putin has amassed at the border, it seems to be a pretty serious undertaking.
My understanding is it's something north of 100,000.
Yeah, and they already for some time now, Russians have been involved in the war there. There are reports that there were Russian soldiers who were not uniformed, but were nonetheless fighting against the Ukrainians.
Right.
And if this sort of quasi-Cold War gets hot and those 100,000 Russians stream across the border, well, then this is a massive test for the Ukrainians. It's also a massive test for Biden, who said that he could be the diplomat on the world stage and improve the United States standing.
That was the claim. I guess a lot of people are waiting for what? A little bit more show me, so that we can have some understanding that, in fact, he can stand up to Putin and some others. Because the thought was, after our exit from Afghanistan, was that this administration was having trouble standing up to the Taliban. And if you don't stand up well to the Taliban, there's not a whole lot of hope that you'd have a great ability to stand up against Russia. Because, is Russia as strong as we are? No. Do they have the money that we have? No. That's not to say that they're not formidable, that they cannot be a formidable foe. And, with the fact that they are much closer to Ukraine than we, they've got much more motivation to be in there and to mess around and to get things done. I'm just going to tell you, as I'm sitting here, I'm not trying to put my thoughts in your head at all, Philip. We found out before that just doesn't work. You're not that dumb. But in my little head, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you've got Ukraine, you've got Russia. Ukraine gives them incredible access to the Black Sea and to the Crimean area, which Russia in and of themselves have very little on their own. It is a huge economic advantage for them to have Ukraine. And a lot of the manufacturing that has come out of the Ukraine, the Antonov airplanes, the largest airplanes in the world, were actually manufactured in Ukraine, not Russia. So it could be a great jewel in their crown. And I'm just of a thought, Philip, I'll throw it out there and let you chew on it with me. I have a feeling that if Putin wants to go in and take Ukraine, Putin will go in and take Ukraine.
Yeah, it's interesting because this isn't just a question of Ukrainian sovereignty. This is a question of the U.S. influence in the world currently. And you noted that this comes on the heels of our rather humiliating withdrawal from Afghanistan. The question now that the rest of the world wants to know is, does the United States mean what it says it does? And the people of Taiwan are very interested in that question, given that China is increasingly aggressive in that region. And now Ukraine is also wondering if the United States is going to live up to our word. Granted, there are considerations with NATO and other nations in the area, but if Putin is to get a foothold in Ukraine that's larger than he already has now, then he's a much larger counterweight on what happens in Europe. And certainly we've seen that this guy is no fan of democracy. And look, this administration and this president, they like to talk all the time about how we are currently engaged in a great test of who's going to win out, democracy or autocracy. Well, this seems to be, a pretty big proving ground in that contest, and we're going to see what the Biden administration is willing to do, because certainly the Taliban had their way with our allies in Afghanistan. We'll see if Putin uses that as pretext for what he wants to do in the Ukraine.
To the extent that we still have some family members of some of our military guys that we got out of there, out of Afghanistan, and they're still there. They're still locked in and they can't get out. We've got other people that served us and took care of us and helped us with translations and things like that. And they were promised, an all-ally out, get-in free card, and they haven't been able to cash theirs either. So Ukraine or Afghanistan is not settled yet, and now you have this coming up. I mean, what was the seeming response in the room when the president's representative was there and reporting on the president and being tough and strong against Putin and all that? Was there, oh, good, that sounds awesome, or was there a big yawn, or was there an, oh, yeah, right, he did? I mean, what was the response? Because I just believe, Philip, if there's another major diplomatic setback, a universal setback, I got to believe that's the end of the end for this administration.
Well, to your point about Afghanistan and trying to get Americans out and allies out, I was just in touch the other day with an individual who had worked with coalition forces in Afghanistan, and he has been trying for months to get a hold of the State Department to get out of that country. He has a case number, but ever since, he hasn't been able to get him and his family out. And there are other folks who I've talked to in the past who have been able to get out. But this particular individual was telling me the Iranians are very interested in learning, what I know about U.S. radio systems in the area there. And, they are offering safe passage. And so, in Afghanistan, that's a kind of a microcosm of individuals who are caught between two powers. They're trying to keep themselves safe. And look, to the larger point about Sullivan's, reception in a briefing room, I think that a lot of other reporters have seen what happened in Afghanistan. They see a lot of the Republican attacks on this president for his handling of that situation. And Sullivan tried to, present a position of strength, and it kind of came down to the telling quote that I have in my notes is when he said to one reporter, he said, I will look you in the eye and tell you, as President Biden looked President Putin in the eye and told him today, that things we did not do in 2014, we are prepared to do now. Well, who was helping Biden and Obama run the show in 2014? Jake Sullivan and a number of other people. So you know, what's going to be different now? Because we've already seen, you know, we've already seen this administration retreat, and we will see how they stand up to the Russians.
You know, and you hate to say this to Sullivan there in the press room. You need to give him some deference and some respect. But aren't you just slightly tempted sometimes to say, okay, well, between 2014 and now, you and the people that worked with you then and the people that you're working with now, from then till now, when, where, and how did you find your backbone?
Yeah, the question that I wanted to ask Sullivan, but I didn't get a chance, was pretty straightforward. And it is, why isn't the president here talking to us? This is a significant bilateral between two great world powers.
Yep.
And why aren't we hearing directly from the president when there's a strong possibility that Russia is going to plunge Ukraine and that region into war? Why are you the one who is telling us about this call? And obviously, you know, the administration, they don't want to telegraph their punches. Mm-hmm. We heard again and again from the previous president that he wasn't going to tell everyone what he was going to do. So, you know, there's some deference there to Biden for not wanting to show all of his cards. But you know, where's the red line? Because the sanctions that they're talking about, those have been tried, and they didn't work. And, you know, that one reporter asked, you know, why are we even waiting to send more military aid to Ukraine? Why are we holding that in reserve? And, you know, Sullivan's response was, well, we're sending them some. But, you know, we haven't ramped it up.
You know, whether it makes a difference or whether this he was very, very tough with Putin, whether that's real or fabricated or whatever, you know, on this day, which is 80 years, the celebration of Pearl Harbor, you know, I wouldn't have been opposed to the fact of if Sullivan would have come to the podium and said, you know what, I don't have a lot for you guys tonight, but here's what I do have. The president plans tonight to speak to the country from the Oval Office. Or he wants to go to Capitol Hill and speak to the nation from there in the room where FDR talked about our resolve and let the president go in there and say, I want to talk about our resolve before anything even happens in Ukraine. I think that would have been extremely powerful.
Yeah, anytime the president speaks, there's much more gravity because, as presidents know, their words are tantamount to actions. It's not just another politician, you know, speaking or you know, more hot air and said this is the leader of the free world. Everyone is wondering, not just in this continent, but in Europe and elsewhere, what we would do if Putin was to invade. And frankly, I think this is something that gets lost a lot. But why does this matter to the everyday American?
Right.
Why does it matter if Putin is allowed to attack other sovereign nations with impunity? Why does it matter if the Chinese are able to be increasingly aggressive with Taiwan? Make that case now and explain to us why it's in our best interest to you know take these dictators on before it gets to a point where you know you have to make much more tough decisions, much more difficult decisions about perhaps you know sending Americans into harm's way.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, listen, it's all there. We will wait to see what happens. I have a funny feeling it wouldn't surprise me if Putin decides to pull whatever it is he's going to do somewhere in and around Christmas Day, you know, to just kind of be a stab in the heart of everybody. But well, let's just hang on and hope that I'm wrong. Let's hope that the president's resolve is stronger than perhaps we think. When we talk to you next week on Tuesday, next Tuesday, are you there or are you here?
No, oh, I'll be here in Washington up until a couple days before Christmas.
Okay.
To see how all these different things shake out.
Well, perhaps we'll have an even clearer picture of what's going on for today. As always, from Real Clear Politics, the White House correspondent, Philip Wegman. Philip, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Pat.
Podcasts by Federated Media.